I'm not too sure about his earrings or his pickup lines at the old nightclubs, David Middleton, but I am sure of one thing now, that Queensland are into slight favouritism for State of Origin number two. And of course, Laurie's predicting the end of the world as far as weather. I'll be surprised if the state of WA exists after the weather predicted for Laurie by the weekend. Good morning, Middo.
Good morning, boys. I don't think I was anywhere near as smooth as Laurie was with his, pickup lines.
What was your pickup line? What was your go-to?
I don't think I had a go-to. I was just I was a bloke who sat in the corner, I reckon.
just an honest battle. Just an honest battle.
Well, what about you two, Kate? What was your best?
I didn't have any particular line.
Oh, what? You just sat back and waited for them to come to you. Yeah, I'm the cool Mr. TK. I've got the flash shirt on. I've got the best jeans on. I've got the new shoes on.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I wasn't a snappy little dresser in the time.
How much aftershave did you put on?
No, you would have splashed it. I was never a big aftershave person.
Please.
No, I wasn't.
Why have you...
No, I don't wear aftershave.
Started now.
No, I don't. I don't wear cologne. I think they call it cologne now. But
sorry, Middo, we digress.
What do you make of the match?
Oh, look, I think it'll be interesting in that, you know, it's at a neutral venue, which will, I think, suit New South Wales. I think, you know, that wave of support behind Queensland at Suncorp is something that's really hard to combat, particularly when there were so many players on debut. I think, you know, we did speak about it before the game, that Suncorp's a different beast and you don't really know what it's like until the players have experienced for themselves and all the rest of it. But, you know, once that crowd got behind Queensland and some of those defensive sets in their side, their 20, I mean, it was just impossible really for New South Wales to come back after that, I think. You know, once Queensland hit the front, they were really battling the Blues in game one. So, look, I think they've picked a team that's really fast, a real attacking side. It depends on the conditions a little bit, I suppose, as well.
Who do the conditions favour if it's going to be wet?
Well, if it's going to be wet, well, you'd have to think Queensland. It's hard to say, you know, it really is. But if it's a tough slogging game, then I guess the experience of players like Munster and Cherry Evans will really come to the fore there. You know, Munster, he's such a strong player. You know, his strength in those one-on-one strips, and we're seeing it more and more often. You know, that's a real advantage.
Did Melbourne do that more than anybody else? Now they get the three or two in the tackle, one drops off. There must be some sort of call or signal, and then the last man in knows. But Melbourne
were the first to lead the way, haven't they? Melbourne have always led the field when it comes to
the wrestle and the ruck. Yeah. But I think a lot more teams are doing it now. If you've got three people in the tackle and someone's got a firm grip on the football and they believe they can rake it and get it back, well, there'd definitely be a call happening in the tackle for the others to drop off.
And, you know, there's a lot of divided opinion whether that's good for rugby league. You know, some would say, well, it's introducing more of a contest to possession now. Mm. You know, there's a chance for possession to swing, you know, in that instance.
Whereas others, I like it.
Yeah, I think so too.
For what you just said there, because rugby league at the moment, unless the opposition make a mistake,
there's no contest for possession.
That's exactly right.
That is an issue. So $1.94 New South Wales now, out from $1.92 each. What are you doing?
Look, there's a couple of stats here in that Queensland have a lot of success in winning a series after they've won game one. 15 times out of 18, they've gone on to win the series. But after New South Wales have lost game one, they've got around a 60% record in game two. Mm. In leveling up the series at one game all. I'm talking about Queensland going on to win the series after three games. So in game two, after having lost game one, New South Wales have won 10 out of 18, which is not a bad strike rate. And I guess it comes down to desperation. New South Wales will be more desperate to win.
They have to win.
They have to win. Queensland, they don't have to win. Mm. But I think Queensland will be very determined to win, given the fact that game three is in Sydney. But, you know, I think maybe the desperation will play into New South Wales' hands. I'm going to tip the Blues.
And do you think the market's about right? I mean, you know, obviously New South Wales are underdogs, but not, you know, by a big margin. They're $1.94, Queensland are $1.90. But when the markets were first opened, Queensland were $2.20 outside.
Yeah, look, I think New South Wales having seven changes and only a week to implement the changes is an issue. But, you know, I think it's a good enough team to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I think it's a good enough team. I've spoken on this show before. Have you been like me? I was shocked that Latrell was not there in when they announced it on Sunday night. But the longer the week's on, the more I've started to like the New South Wales side.
Yeah, look, I mean, none of us will really understand the way Brad thinks, you know, about football and about his team, you know, and I support Freddie all the way. Mm. The easiest thing, I guess, would have been for him to leave Latrell there because we know how damaging he can be. But his form at club level for a couple of weeks has not been there. He scored 18 points against Canterbury last weekend, but he was rarely sighted. I mean, he's the goal kicker, so he got, you know, 10 of those points from kicking, and he only kicked 5 from 9. He scored 2 tries when he was probably in the right place at the right time. He had to pull through the line for one of them, but he just hasn't been that involved in his football the last few weeks. And to get a player of the strength of Tom Trbojevic in there, you know, considering how he played last
week.
Yeah,
but he was always going to be there.
He was always
going to
be there.
So that's not the issue. I mean, Tom was always going to be there. He was either going to be on the right wing or he's going to be right centre, right? And poor old Josh Morris came off the game of his life. And right centre gets the Basel.
A lot of people said to me, we're one front rower short. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, no, David Clemmer. That's a huge loss. And Daniel Saifidi isn't David Clemmer. Mm. He's in his first game. And look, well, I think probably Queensland are a front rower short too, having lost Jai Arrow. And Jared Wallace comes in. And Dylan Napa's got an injury. And Tim Glasby's probably not the same. You know, he's a good honest front rower, but he's not the same quality as some of the players that they're missing.
All right. This other game, and I really love the way that this has taken off, this New Zealand-Tonga clash. There'll be 30,000 people over there in New Zealand.
Sea of red.
30,000 people at Mount Smart Stadium, but I reckon 25,000 of them will be supporting Tonga.
That will be unbelievable, won't it? Again, you know, this wave of support behind Tonga is just an incredible thing. And they lost Andrew Fifita through suspension during the week, but they still have the most formidable forward pack that has just about been assembled in recent years. I mean, they would give the Australian side a huge run for their money. The only issue for them is, I guess, they lack some creativity in the halves. John Asiata plays his first game for Tonga, where he's previously played with Samoa, but he's got the heritage dating back to both. He's a creative player, but he's only played half a dozen games at 5/8 for the Cowboys. And Tui Lola, he has been flown in from Leeds, more known as a fullback or an outside back, I guess, than a halfback. So I think Tonga lacks some creativity in the halves, but elsewhere, they're just unbelievable.
Mm. And Benji Marshall makes a return to international football for New Zealand.
Won't that be interesting to watch Benji after 7 years, I think it is, playing Test football for New Zealand alongside Sean Johnson? Wow. I mean, they haven't played together before, but that'll be something to watch, won't it? I'm just so looking forward to it as a contest. And I think Tonga can win, given their forward strength.
I'll
tip Tonga to
Tonga win. Tonga at $2.30. Yep. Okay. $2.30 outsiders, $1.62 in New Zealand.
A home crowd advantage effect, won't they, with the crowd behind them?
Yeah,
it's amazing. And I just remember last year's game, Mitter, they were getting beaten, and I think it was against the Australians, and they started singing, the crowd started singing, and it was just a wonderful atmosphere, something that I've never witnessed before in a rugby league game.
No. Australia probably blew them away early in that game, and they did well to hang in, but I think it'd be a different story. I don't think New Zealand are quite the strong lineup.
They played expansive football, which they had to try and beat the Aussies, and the passes didn't stick early, and it all turned to poo pretty quickly there against a very, very good outfit. Mate, this game was on and off and on and off and on and off. But Fiji, $1.11 up against Lebanon, $6.50. And you've got Timmy Manny, you've got Robbie Farah playing.
Yeah, but there's quite a few NRL players missing from the Lebanon side. Like Adam Dewey's not there. Mitchell Moses isn't there. Alex Twal's not there. So there's only a couple of players with NRL experience in the Lebanon side. And Fiji, have maybe half their team is NRL. So I'd expect them to win pretty comfortably.
And the other game, Samoa versus Papua New Guinea. New Guinea played well in the corresponding match last year, albeit it was against Fiji.
They beat Fiji last year, which was an upset.
Yeah, they're $6 outsiders. Samoa $1.13.
Yeah, Samoa's got entirely NRL players in their lineup, and they've got plenty of creativity in the halves compared to what Tonga boast. Like players like Milford and Mason Lenore and a couple of others as well who've got good NRL experience in the halves. Whereas PNG are missing players like Lachlan Lamb. They've got Reece Martin, but Justin Ollam, who's played first grade for the Storm, he's missing as well. Most of the Samoa players, you know, are pretty well known internationally.
Yeah. Marty Tapau.
Marty Tapau's pledged
gone
his allegiance.
From New Zealand to Samoa. Yeah,
yeah. They look, you know, I think they should win pretty comfortably, the Samoans.
Mido, so you're tipping New South Wales, right, who are just slight outsiders. Have you got a man of the match and a first try scorer for us?
Oh, I just think you'd have to stick with the trio, Maloney, Tedesco or Damien Cook for man of the match. Yep. And I'll tip New South Wales by 4 points.
And in the other State of Origin game tomorrow night, North Sydney Oval,
New South Wales double in that one and make it four straight.
Four straight for New South Wales. Good on you, Mitter.
Thanks, boys.